Thank you, and I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord. Good to be with you, friends, this evening. I'd like to introduce my wife, Glenda. As far as I can recall, the last time I was here, I did not have Glenda as my wife. I don't remember if I was a widower when I came before or not. But anyway, this month will be our third anniversary, Glenda and I being married. For those of you who aren't aware, Hepzibah House began in 1971. When the Lord called my wife and I to begin that work. We're located in Winona Lake, Indiana, which is the home of Billy Sunday, that famous evangelist of years ago. In fact, if you get up our way, they still give free tours of his house. That's a good Baptist price. They're on a hill overlooking Winona Lake. For lack of a better term, Hepzibah House could be called a girls' home. But it's unique in the sense that the girls that we receive have a custodial parent that goes to church. So these are youngsters who've sat in pews like these. They've heard a man of God preach and teach. They've been in VBS, camp, Sunday school, choir. Many of them have had family altar. In fact, some of them have won awards for scripture memory. But as I'm sure you realize, just because a child has received the light is no absolute guarantee they're going to follow the light they have received. And especially in today's world where the portals of evil are so ubiquitous, and then with the advent of the World Wide Web and social networking and so forth, you know, I know most youngsters today have these gadgets, these electronic gadgets, but I hope yours doesn't. Let me tell you why. For the last 20 years or so, these girls have come in absolutely addicted to the usage of those gadgets. They're not old enough, they're not mature enough, they're not responsible enough, they're not self-controlled enough to operate those things in a righteous way. Because you see, that enables them to have a secret life of which mom and dad have no knowledge until finally there's some soul-scarring activities. And may I tell you something, they're not studying their Sunday school lesson on those gadgets. They're getting involved in things that you would not want them to be involved in. So I just offer that as what we've observed over the last 20 years or so. Some of our girls are now pastors' wives and missionary wives, and of course we're pretty excited about that. Three of them are now at Bible Institute. We just sent another one off to Bible College this last week. One of the girls that is now in Bible Institute was a pastor's daughter who, because of her involvement on the web, social networking, actually considered murdering her family. But the Lord got a hold of her heart at Hepzibah House, and now she's at Bible Institute. In fact, she said she wants to come back and be a staff lady, but that'll be off in the future. Please pray for us. We need a young woman to function as a staff lady. If you know of a young woman who has a burden for troubled teen girls, we'd sure like to hear about her. Now, some of our girls are godly wives and mothers, but then some go back to their sin. But we rejoice in those that he does pull from the fire. What you're about to see for the next 11 minutes is a DVD about the perspective of a parent who sends a child to us. Just hit sense.
She is no longer listening to us as parents. She was in full-blown rebellion.
She started not caring about other things around her or other people, and she was being very selfish and started closing in on herself, just kind of being on her own.
She began to sneak around, and then when she was caught, she would lie about what she was doing.
She was facing peer pressure. And she wanted to be like everybody else. She wanted to be like the world. She wanted to be out there and have fun. She was living a guilty life. We could sense that in her.
She caught her about 2 a.m., about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, up, and she would actually been was on her electronic device. They were talking about things that a 15-year-old girl shouldn't be talking about.
She would have outbursts of anger, and like my husband said, she was in rebellion, not listening, and we had to do something to help her quickly.
So these are youngsters who have heard the light and have had all the advantages of a Christian home and family, but despite all that advantage, they've, as the scripture says, thrown it behind their back. The child of today in a Christian family does not fear God. Many seem to have the attitude of, well, it's just the way teenagers are, that we can't expect much more than that. After all, she's probably just going through a stage. And as rebellion gets worse and worse, then it finally reaches a point of no return, so to speak, and that's when we usually get a call. Now we see this awful reality of children in our ministry who are memorizing scripture. They're away from all their evil influences. They're away from their evil friends, their wrong activities, all the social networking, no TV. None of those negative, evil inclinations. But she rejects the gospel. It's almost as if some of these children don't have a conscience anymore.
In our home, there was a lot of protection from wrong things like the internet, cell phones, social networking. But her struggles with deception still manifested themselves in daily life.
I wanted what was best, and what we were doing wasn't working, and we were desperate.
I was relieved to find that we could find a godly place where she would be loved and cared for and monitored 24/7. Have the counseling that she needed from a godly perspective.
And sometimes God pulls the family apart only to later bring us back even stronger than what we were when we were separated.
We felt God guided us to this place, and believe me, we had people, I'm just gonna tell you, we had family who said, "You couldn't do such a thing." But we love her so much that we will do such a thing because what we were doing wasn't working.
So we encourage parents to get in touch with us before the child becomes so intransigent, so rebellious, so self-serving that she's not going to listen to anybody.
That had we waited any longer before taking our daughter to Hephzibah House, there would have been more wrong choices that would have left some deep scars.
And so when we actually dropped her off at the school, you could just feel your insides being like ripped out because you felt so bad, but you knew that it was the right thing to do for her.
She was my only daughter. And just to have that yanked away by her choice, not by mine, I kept telling her that it wasn't my decision to put her there. It was her actions that put her there in the first place. The separation was going to be painful, but I knew it was only going to be temporary. And that's what made it easier when we did actually drop her off.
I was scared, I was exhausted, I was emotional, but in my spirit, I knew it was the right thing to do. I knew that this is the door that the Lord had really swung open for us, for my daughter.
I just finished my doctorate. I've got coursework in counseling, probably more than some of the counselors you have here. And I can help my own daughter, so that was kind of hard. That's been the hardest for me.
We could sense she was trying to hang on to her old self, but she was being bombarded in a really good way by biblical truths, by constant discipline 24/7. She was on a schedule, and I think that was really what brought her into the realization that there is a better life than the one that she had been trying to live.
I felt she was in a safe environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was not only a safe environment, but she was in a very healthy environment, a Christian environment, mm-hmm. where I knew she was going to be cared for. She was going to get good biblical teaching, and it would be an opportunity for her to grow there.
There's something about being removed from that which is familiar that helps a person to formulate new ideas, a new way of looking at this situation, new way of conquering old habits.
Separation is important to get them away from what is influencing them and trying to get them down the right road.
Sometimes there comes a time when you can't work with your child at home anymore. Separation from the familiar surroundings is what it takes.
And the longer you wait, the deeper the root goes, mm-hmm. and the harder to uproot that.
And the harder to make a decision.
Yes.
God's first line of defense for protecting a child is mom and dad, a godly home. That's the first line of defense. That mom and dad have that child's heart. And that's where a lot of parents make their mistake, because they just focus on behavior, outward behavior, instead of that child's heart.
The safety that he gives to know that your child is in a place where they can receive ministry in a loving, caring way, and that you don't have to worry about it at night. You know, it's mm-hmm. they're safe.
Mm-hmm. Knowing that she was just being watched over, that she couldn't leave there on her own, that it made me feel a lot more comfortable.
The best news was that I knew we could help her by leaving her here, but that didn't make it easier to pull away, to get in that car and go several hours away without her.
I, for a time, was humiliated because I'm like, I'm a teacher. I can't handle my own daughter.
Sometimes as a man, I know I felt like, no, we should be able to handle this. I mean, she's our daughter. We need to be able to handle this. But there comes a point that you got to say, you got to lay down your pride for the benefit of your child.
There was a spiritual battle, but the folks at Hephzibah House were so helpful in assisting us. This confirmed to me that we had made the right decision. And when we left there that day, there was a peace in knowing we had done the right thing.
We've had many phone calls and visits. Our relationship is definitely rebuilding, stronger than what it ever was before.
For the first time in a long time, several months, we have seen a genuine smile. The light behind her eyes, as far as the happy look in her eyes, that was evident today.
The hard thing is as parents, is to drop your daughter off and drive away and pleading to God, let her be loved like we would love her. and cared for like we would care for her. And we have no control of that when you pull out the driveway. But yet God confirms that our daughter is loved beyond measure here.
It wasn't an easy thing, but looking back, if I had to turn back the clock and nothing else would change, I would do it all over again, without a doubt. It was worth it.
Some have asked me, is there any hope? And there definitely is. We all have to remember that we serve a God of hope. And one of the first things that we try to do with these children that we get is to give them hope. You don't have to be shackled by the cords of your sin. You don't have to live this way and keep accumulating scars and destroying your future. You can become a different person by the grace of God. We keep planting those seeds of hope till finally one day some of them see it and reach out for the ark of safety. That gives you a better perspective of our work, especially from the point of view of a parent who sends a child to us. If you know of a family that's having some real struggles with their teen daughter, we'll certainly try to help them if we can. But we want to say thank you to Fellowship Baptist for your prayers and your support. It's just been a joy to partner with you in reaching these troubled souls for the Lord. And some of them are so deceived, they don't know their right hand from their left. Turn, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 11. And while you're turning there, let me just say a word about some of the things on the tables out in the hallway. My wife, Glenda, will be there at the tables to help you tonight. My favorite, let me first say that all the printed material is free. If you don't already receive our newsletter called Hephzibah Happenings, you're welcome to sign up for that. There's a clipboard for that purpose. It comes out 3 times a year. There's always some sermons in there, lots of photography about the ministry. I think you'd find it interesting. But then there's some things for sale. Now, we don't like to sell things on the Lord's Day, but you're welcome to pick up what you want and take it home with you. But my wife will get some contact information from you, and hopefully we'll hear from you again. My favorite DVD out there is called Picture Proverbs. This is the book of Proverbs being recited verse by verse from the King James Bible with background music and sound effects. This, because of all the memory devices, it's very conducive to scripture memory. And for example, there was a lady up in Illinois working in her garden, and her boy was out on the side here playing with his truck. And he suddenly put his truck down, and he stood up, and he started quoting Proverbs verse by verse because they had been using picture Proverbs. My own grandson is a Down syndrome, and his parents have required him to watch picture Proverbs to the point where he now says the passage before the voice. So if you want your child or grandchild or yourself to memorize scripture by accident, this would be something you'd want to look into, picture Proverbs. And then there's another DVD that I like. It's called How Big Is God? The best way to describe this is it will boggle your mind. It will boggle. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Reminds me of that passage. And if you like beautiful, sacred, majestic music, we have 8 CDs out there with that beautiful music. So be sure to stop by the book tables as you leave tonight. I think you'll find some things that aren't in an average Christian bookstore.